Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. This Sunday at 7 p.m., a double shot of deeply talented performers will take the stage at the Mehewi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. The Mehewi Performing Arts Center's 2012 gala event and fundraiser for the Mehewi's 2012 season is An Evening with Patti LuPone and Mandy Patinkin, in honor of John Hoyt Stuckey. Patti LuPone and Mandy Patinkin first met and worked together in the original 1979 Broadway production of Andrew Lloyd Webber's Evita. And the two Tony Award-winning living stage legends and virtuosos will be together at the Mehewi in their critically acclaimed concert and theatrical event. But before they're together there, they'll both join us this morning, although not strictly together. First up, we welcome Patti LuPone.
My pleasure.
How were the songs selected for the show that you and Mandy do?
Mandy did not want to have me sing 20 minutes and then he sing 20 minutes, and then we come together as a duet, and so he wanted to thread a piece of theater together. So he and Paul, I was doing Noises Off at the time, so he and Paul discussed songs and music, and they presented some stuff with me to me, and I wasn't about to say no because I respect their taste, and we started to work on this music, and then of course it's evolved. We started this 10 years ago, but it has evolved over the years. Songs and scenes were taken out, new songs and scenes were put in, and this is something Mandy and I will do for the rest of our lives together.
And how lucky for you that you want to do that, and us that we get to see it.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you.
Having said that, I haven't been able to see the show before. I will be seeing it at the Mehewi, and I'm very excited. But I've seen video that's online, and it looks like you guys are having so much fun together.
We do. We trust each other. We like each other. We support each other. And that's a recipe for a lot of fun.
There is a still newish cabaret space in the cellar of Studio 54 called 54 Below, and you've performed there. You were there inaugural performance, and you were there again very recently. What do you like about performing at 54 Below?
Oh, it's first of all, it was sort of generated by my producers for Sweeney Todd and Gypsy, so I would do anything for them. Mm-hmm. And it's a great space. It reminds me of Les Mouches. It's an intimate space. It's like 150 people. And it feels like old New York. It's a supper club. You go there for dinner or drinks, and then there's a show. There's a floor show. And it's just a lot of fun. And it's in the theater district. And the only ones that really are left are the Carlisle, in the Carlisle Hotel, and Feinstein's in the Regency. And you have to travel over to the east side, and you're in a hotel. This is a destination spot. You have to want to go there. You know, in the other two, you might be staying in the hotel. Mm-hmm. And you have that chance to go to a club there. But this is really just a supper club, and it's a destination. And it's a great space. It's a really, really terrific space, really good food. And I really enjoy doing that kind of intimate work.
When you've performed there, have you done a cultivated show, a one-woman show that you've done before, or have you put together new evenings of entertainment?
This was a brand-new evening. Mm-hmm. It was time for a new show. So this is called Faraway Places. We did the first act, and now we have to work on the second act.
Later this fall, you'll be in David Mamet's two-woman drama, The Anarchist, with Deborah Winger. Are you looking forward to working on that show?
I've already started, and it's very difficult, and I'm very excited.
You've worked with Mamet before, of course. What do you like about acting in his plays, particularly?
I don't know. It's not a question of what I like. I'm able to understand and rhythmically speak his language. Do you know what I mean? I don't go, gee, I like it, therefore I do it.
Right.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really love it. I love David as a human being. I love David as a playwright. And I love the subject matter that David delves into. And I just am very grateful that I can be associated with a living American playwright.
It is Deborah Winger's Broadway debut. Has that been influencing the dynamic in rehearsals, and do you think it will mean anything in performance?
Well, we'll see. I mean,
right.
I have no idea how she will respond to 8 shows a week on a Broadway stage, because it is her debut. But right now we're in the rehearsal process.
That 8 shows a week is something that you are as much as one could get used to, I imagine, used to. It's, important part, obviously, of your career, something you've done a lot of times. What do you think it is about your constitution, about you, that makes you so willing to continue working so hard, as one must when they're in a Broadway show?
Yeah, I just like the discipline of it. Do you know what I mean? I know where I have to be at 8 p.m. My day is structured around when I go to the theater, and I like that. I also like the discipline of what one learns in a long run as far as technique or the information in the play. Usually you know everything about your character on the closing performance. It takes me that long to figure it out. So I really enjoy the growth that I can achieve in a long run, the growth in the character that I can achieve in a long run, and the growth in technique and in acting. And like I said, it's a structure. I know where I have to be at 8 o'clock at night. So I gear everything around that.
Mr. Mamet is also directing this production of The Anarchist. Have you been directed by him before?
I have.
And
a lot.
How would you say he is at directing his own work?
I think David is wonderful directing his own work because, the playwright is in the room with the director. There's no argument. David is a great editor of his own work. And David is a great acting teacher. And he loves actors. He's really, really, really wonderful to work with.
Sing for me, my meadowlark. Sing for me of the silver morning. Set me free, my meadowlark. And I'll buy you a priceless jewel and cloth of brocade and crewel, and I'll love you for life if you will. Sing for me.
In an interview with Susan Stamberg I heard a couple of years ago, she identified Meadowlark as your signature song. Do you think of that song as your signature song? Or is that something...
One of them. Someone makes it a signature song. I don't make it a signature song. Mm-hmm. Someone else makes it a signature song.
Right.
And so the audience has made it a signature song. They've made Don't Cry for Me, Argentina a signature song for me as well. So I can't tell you why. The audience is what makes or gives a performer a signature song.
Speaking of Don't Cry for Me, Argentina, before I ask you about Evita, I wanted to give you an out. Are you tired of talking about Evita?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
I just wanted to ask if you'd seen the revival.
No, I've had no time to see the revival. I haven't been in the city, and I haven't seen it.
Patti LuPone, thank you so much for speaking with me today, and we will see you at the Mahewi.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. LuPone will next be on Broadway in David Mamet's The Anarchist at the John Golden Theater. Previews begin November 13th. This Sunday will be an evening with Patti LuPone and Mandy Patinkin at the Mahewi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. To learn more, visit mahewi.org. Mandy Patinkin is currently on the small screen in this year's Emmy Award-winning Best Drama, the Showtime series Homeland. He is also still making a swashbuckling splash as Inigo Montoya in the Rob Reiner-directed film The Princess Bride, which is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. I spoke with Mandy Patinkin last week about Patti LuPone, Homeland, The Princess Bride, and more.
Mandy Patinkin, welcome to the roundtable.
Thank you.
So, jumping back a ways, when did you first know you wanted to be a performer, you wanted to act and sing for the public?
Good question. Well, I wasn't a big fan of high school. I sang in the choir, in the boys' choir in the synagogue on the south side of Chicago from the age of 7 years old. And then I sang in the family choir on Friday evenings and in the boys' choir on Saturday mornings in shul. And I did that till about the age of 14. And I really loved it. It was something I did all the time. My friends were in the choir. And so I loved that. And then high school was sort of a drag for me. And my mother said, why don't you go over to the Young Men's Jewish Council Youth Center on the south side of Chicago? They're doing some plays over there. And I said, oh, that's not for me. You don't know me at all. And long story short, I went over there. A guy named Bob Condor, who was the drama coach, he was doing a play. I got in it, and it was a play called Anything Goes. I played a small part in it, and I fell in love with it. And the next thing we did was Stop the World, I Want to Get Off, and I played Little Chap, and then I played Billy Bigelow in Carousel, and then one thing after another, and I found my life. And I was a 15-year-old kid in high school that had to paste sideburns on my cheeks because I didn't have any facial hair, and I felt like I could live again, and I loved it. Well, that was it. That was just the moment for me. I also remember one moment when we were doing Carousel. We all were between 14 and 18 years old in high school, and we sat in a semicircle, and Bob said to us, "What's the play about?" And all the kids raised their hand and said, "It's about a guy who makes a mistake, about a guy who goes to heaven, about a guy who gets a second chance, about a guy, about a guy, about a guy."
Mm-hmm.
And like a great teacher, he said to all of us, "Well, I think you're right. I think it's about all those things." He said, "I think it's also about something else." He said, "I think it's about if you love someone, tell them." And I'd heard the rabbi give sermons every day in the synagogue. I heard great conversations around our dinner table. But somehow I heard that comment more than I'd heard anything else anywhere else. And I remember thinking, if that's what this thing called the theater is like, I want to hang in it. I like the way it talks.
And did you go to Juilliard right after high school?
No, right after high school, I went to the University of Kansas in Lawrence, Kansas for 1 year. And then everybody said I should consider going to a drama school. So I applied to the Goodman School in Chicago and the Juilliard School in New York. And like a lot of kids, I wanted to go as far away from home as I could.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose New York, mainly for that reason. And that was that. And I ended up in New York and met the love of my life and had a family and met Paul Ford and had this music career and my acting career and blah, blah, blah.
I get to speak with you today because you and Ms. Patti LuPone are coming to the Mehewi on October 14th.
Yes.
You've been doing versions of the show with Ms. LuPone for a while in New York City and around the country. Can you articulate for us why you enjoy doing this two-person show with her so much? What's so fun about it? What makes it worth your time and energies?
Yeah, she's my partner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm so blessed. I have this partner in life named Catherine Grody. And you don't, you know, sure, there's billions of people on the world. Do we only have one partner? No, I'm sure there's others. But you got to keep life a little simple. So, and in the world of theater, 30 years ago, we met each other doing Evita. I just adored her. We were fragile. We were young. We were scared. We needed each other at those moments. We supported each other. And it cemented a lifelong friendship. We were at each other's weddings, one wedding apiece. We were celebrated the birth of our children. And being up there with her, if you love musical theater, or if you just love the theater and being up there with a great actress, it's as good as it gets. She's as good as it gets. And when you trust someone the way we trust each other, and it's not just from being friends, it's from the years of working together. And that started all those years ago and then rekindled 10 years ago. And now we've been doing this all over the world, and now we're creating a new one that we'll give birth to at some point along the way. You gain an uncanny trust for each other, so you can be incredibly dangerous with each other. You can take unbelievable chances with each other. You can take unbelievable time with each other. You can make mistakes with each other and know that the other person won't be angry or offended. As a matter of fact, usually those mistakes end up being the best moments of the evening. And part of it is the way the other person takes care of the other person's needs. It's not just chemistry, it's caring. And it's good luck. It's the luck of meeting the right person and the right person who also has this common love. I remember years ago when I was in London, I was shooting The Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I went to see Patti in Les Mis. She was in the original production in London. She had one song, she sang it, and just, I was sitting there in a puddle of tears, and Catherine, my wife, turned to me and said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I love this form, and that's as good as it gets." And then we just went out and partied afterwards with Patti, and then, you know, and I'm the luckiest guy in the world that I get to perform with her, and we make things up together to do. And, oh, my God. I mean, I'm not kidding. I pinch myself at times. There's times when I'm up there and we're singing and I look at her, and while I'm singing and while I'm looking at her, I'm saying to myself, screaming to myself in my head, "Mandy, are you paying attention? Do you see where you are, who you're with, and how lucky you are to get to be here with this person?
Are you paying attention?
I was fortunate enough to speak with Ms. Lapone to talk about this upcoming show in Great Barrington also, and she hasn't had time, she's very busy, as you know, to see the revival of Evita. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't either. But, you know, there's some things I'm interested in seeing, and some things, you know, I get to do it every night with her. We do pieces of Evita often when we do our own show.
Of course.
I don't know, I feel a little sacred about it. It's like I don't want to go to another synagogue.
Right. No, that's very, very well put.
I like my rabbi and my rabbi's patty.
I understand completely.
Yeah.
You mentioned filming The Princess Bride, and as I'm more than certain you're aware, this year is the 25th anniversary of the release of that film.
Yeah.
And it's an American classic, a huge part of our popular culture. I have a calendar of it by my desk. The September picture was you as an Inigo Montoya pointing a sword at me.
I was September's cover boy.
That's right. Did you have any idea when you were filming it that it would be such a big deal, such a hit?
I know, I had no idea. I just knew that this was a lot of fun. I remember we said often on many a day that we should be paying you guys, you shouldn't be paying us. It was just a glorious experience. They flew me into Manhattan. I'm shooting in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm shooting the end of the second season of Homeland, but the schedule worked out. They were able to work out the schedule to let me out for tomorrow night because we're having the New York Film Festival screening a new print, a restored, you know, something kind of print of the 25th anniversary of The Princess Bride, and all of the original cast are going to be there with the exception of Andre and Peter Falk, God rest their souls, and Peter Cook. We're all going to be together, and Rob, and they're screening it. And then there's a Q&A and a discussion afterwards and then a party. So I'm really excited. I haven't been with these people for an awful long time, all in one place in one room. When we did the photo shoot recently for Entertainment Weekly magazine, their ode to the 25th anniversary, I had to fly in early and they had to shoot me separate and, you know, green screen me into the photo, because I had to get right back to Charlotte to shoot for Homeland. So I wasn't able to wait till the evening when the shoot took place. This will be my first time in a long time.
That's so exciting. I think it's, I mean, just personally, completely personally, it is fantastic for me and probably many like me as a fan of the film that it's not something that's so popular you resent it overshadowing anything else you've done.
Oh my God, are you kidding? I pinch myself. A day doesn't go by where somebody doesn't mention it or talk about it, or a kid or a grown up, where somebody doesn't say, are you the guy? And I literally, or you talk, even while we're having this conversation, I have to pinch myself and say, am I the guy she's talking about that's in the movie? How did that happen? How did I get to be in that movie? You get it and you don't get it at the same moment. I understand that I am the guy, I did it. And then part of you goes, well, how did I get to do it? How did I get to be that guy? How did I get that lucky? And, you know, there's no answers to these things. It just happens. But I'm sure grateful. Oh, boy, am I grateful. I love it.
The show you're filming that you've mentioned, you're filming in Charlotte, the second season of Homeland, and it very recently won the Emmy for Best Television Drama. How did you decide to work on Homeland? How were you approached to participate?
It was my birthday, I think 2010, November 30th. My agent called and said, you're going to be offered something tomorrow. I'm sending it to you right now. Read it. And I was in the midst of doing a new play by Rene Groff called Compulsion that I'd been working on for a year and a half. We had done a production of it in Yale and then the Berkeley Rep, and then we were getting ready to open it in New York City at the Public Theater. I read the script. The pedigree of the writers, Alex Gonza, Howard Gordon, the whole staff, Meredith Stein, Henry Grimmel, Chip Johannesson, Alexander Carey, was as good as they come. And I said to my agent, how can I do this? I'm doing this show in New York. They want to shoot right when we're going into dress rehearsal. And we open. I don't know how can it work. They want me to have a beard. I don't have a beard in the play. What am I going to do? So they said they're going to make it work. And so I had to call Oscar Eustace, the head of the Public Theater, who was also the director of the play. Mm-hmm. I said, do you think there's any way we can make this work? And thanks to Oscar and Rinna, the Public Theater, and everyone at Showtime, Homeland, and Fox 21, everybody worked their tush off to make the schedule work out. So I would fly to Charlotte, do a scene first thing in the morning, take right to the airport, fly back to New York, go into dress rehearsal or technical rehearsal, finish the rehearsal, go back to the airport, fly back to Charlotte to do a scene the next morning. This went on for several days. I finished the final scene in Homeland, came back to New York. We were in our final dress rehearsal for the play. I shaved my beard that night, and we opened the play, and there you had it.
Mr. Patinkin, that sounds exhausting.
Well, I tell you, it's being alive, and that's what I love. I was just with a friend of mine, and we were both having breakfast yesterday, and I said he loves to travel. I said, so do I. I feel alive. I feel alive talking to you. I feel alive having the pressure to learn the lines for Homeland. I feel alive practicing my songs. I have 12 hours of lyrics and songs in my head that I need to practice for my concerts that I love to do. I feel alive doing all of these things. And I know one day you get a big vacation. And until that day comes, I want to enjoy my life and every sunrise and sunset, because I know it's not here forever.
Mandy Patinkin, it has been an absolute honor for me after listening to cast recordings and watching you on the big screen and the small screen for all of these years to get to speak with you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And have a wonderful time at the Mahewi.
Thanks a lot. And we have fun doing it. And please ask everybody to come on down, as they say.
All right. Thank you
okay,
very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too.
The Mahewi Performing Arts Center 2012 Gala event, An Evening with Patti LuPone and Mandy Patinkin, is taking place this Sunday at 7 p.m. To learn more, visit mahewi.org. That's mahaiwe.org. You may also learn more about the show at pattyandmandy.com.
It's us, old friend. What's to discuss, old friend? Here's to us. Who's like us? Damn few.
I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.